So put your financial house in order and think about what you can do to lower overheads and increase profits. And the way you can lower overheads is to ask yourself, what are the 20% of the things that I'm doing that gives me 80% results? Because it's basically been proven that 75% of the results you get are coming for 20 to 25% of your activities. And find out what those are. I did this in my clients, and I shed certain clients, and I focused on certain clients. Once I went through and I prioritized my clients and the ones that give me the most return for the least amount of effort versus the ones that give me the most least return for the most amount of effort, and I shed those, and I got focused on this, and my business went up. And then I did that again a year later, and I did it again and shed some more. And I just kept shedding like a tree that grows to the sun. It has to shed branches. You have to shed parts of your life in order to get on and grow new parts of your life. But if you're holding on to the same old thing, you continue doing the same thing, you're going to continue to get the same results. So I had to be able to shed certain friends. I had to value my time. I have now a situation when I'm in Houston, Texas, of the people I used to hang around with, now they call up and said, hey, I hear you're coming into town. I say, yes, I'm coming to town. He says, I'd like to take you out to dinner. Everything else. I said, I've got 30 of you that want to take me out to dinner. If you can get them all together, I'll do it in one night. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay me for my time. I can't do it. I've got too many other important things to do. How many of you understand what I'm saying here? If you don't value yourself, don't expect to ever have money. You've got to value your time and value yourself. The busier people, the more wealthy people have a high value on their time, and they use their time most effectively on the highest priority things that are most inspiring to them. And they shed things that are distracting. It's very easy for people, now watch this, if a person has wealth and saving money lower on their value list, and all of a sudden you want to transcend them and you want to shed that branch, they're going to think you're greedy, because the definition of greed, let me give you the definition, you're going to like this. The definition of greedy is somebody who has wealth lower on the value list projecting their values onto somebody who has it higher on their value list. Let me say that again. Somebody that has wealth building lower on the value list labels somebody who has it higher on their value list as greedy and stingy. And the person that has it high on the value list projecting their values onto somebody that has it lower on the values labels them cheap. When I was coming to do this program, I got an email. This is about a month and a half ago. I got an email. Rosa, I didn't tell you about this. I got an email from a guy in Perth. Or maybe you know about this. I don't know. He may have contacted you. A gentleman said, Dr. DeMartini, I would really love to come to your program. But why are you so expensive? He says, you know, nobody can afford that. That's, you know, it's not fair. People like us can't afford that. We'd like to come to your program. And so what that tells me is what? That on his value list, wealth and saving is low on his values. Doesn't it tell you that? So if he doesn't have it, and that's too expensive, then it's low on his value list. I had another guy who happened to be in Liberty. His name is Paul. You probably know him. And Paul it basically said, how come you're so cheap? Your programs are too cheap. You ought to be charging $3,000 or $4,000 for those programs. I liked him. You know what? His value of wealth building was higher than mine. He said I was cheap. This guy said I was greedy. So I realized that when somebody labels you greedy, that just means you have wealth building higher on the value list than they do, and they have it lower than you do. When somebody says you're cheap, they have it higher on theirs than you do. That's all it means. It's just a projection of somebody's values. Do you understand? Don't buy into it. Because next to Bill Gates, I'm cheap. So I wrote him an email, and I said, thank you for your comment. I really appreciate it. But I do have a program called The Secrets of Financial Mastery. It's a 12-CD program or 15-CD program. It's only for $300-something or whatever. Maybe this would be more in line, and it would prepare you to earn the money and to have the framework of your consciousness to be able to prepare for that seminar in the future. And I sent it off to him. Never got a reply from him. It didn't matter. But you got to realize that if you surround yourself with people who think you're greedy and too expensive, it's time to shed the branches to grow to the next level of your life. Do you understand? Because if you're going to hold on to them instead of letting you move on, you're basically shrinking instead of shining, and you want to give them permission to do the same in their life. How many got what I'm saying? You got to be willing to shed that and get on with your life. Because the person who's going to label you greedy and stingy or whatever it is, only when they perceive It's outside their comfort zone of paying. And that's because they haven't saved, they haven't earned their money and managed their money well. So the very person that's negating you for building wealth is the very person that would probably benefit from this course the most and shift their value systems. I find this is very true. The people that need the program the most are the ones that are least likely to be there, and the people that don't need it the most are the ones most likely to be there. Very commonly. You've been in seminars, you've seen this. So it's essential to manage your time. So you want to ask yourself and be neurotic about it. If you really want to build wealth, is ask, make a list of everything you do in a day and put a dollar value next to it and find out what you do and what its value is. That was a real eye-opener to me. Real eye-opener to me. Particularly when I got into practice. Because I realized that I was doing some things in my practice that was actually netting me X number of dollars and other things that were netting me 10 times that. So as long as I was spending time doing low priority things, not higher priority things, I was holding myself back financially. Now, I basically do four things. I research, write, travel, and speak as far as my business and finances are. I only do basically four things. I research, write, travel, speak, and I speak one or many. One-on-one in consulting, one-on-many in seminars. I've delegated everything else away. It's wise to make a list of all the things you do, find out what is the value per minute or hour for each of those things, prioritize those according to which ones produce the most, and then hire somebody to do the lower priority things so you can get on to do the higher priority things so you can shed the lower priority things, delegate those to somebody who's be inspired about doing that, that would be feeling very valuable there, and get on with things that produce the most income for you. Another is streamline, prioritize, delegate. Streamline, prioritize, delegate. These are efficiently streamlined things, prioritize things, delegate things that don't produce the same amount of money as the things that produce the highest. When I first got into my practice, I was doing almost everything. I was a generalist. I was doing reports, I was doing exams, I was doing this, I was doing that. And then I found out that I produced the most income per minute adjusting people. And then I started to do classes to inspire new patients, and I got really good at inspiring new patients to come. So then I found out if I went and spoke at a breakfast club or a luncheon club or a function, and I was to generate 5 to 8 new patients out of it, and each patient was $2,700, that I could go and generate a $16,000 to $20,000 morning doing a one-hour talk or a 20-minute talk. So then I found out that it was more effective and efficient for me to go out and speak for an hour and generate $20,000 and have people delegated to do the other things than it was to me sit there and doing the work. So I kept doing this exercise, streamline, prioritize, delegate, right? Streamline your efficiency of your product, what you're doing towards the most efficiently you can do it, then prioritize it, and then sit down and lower the lower priorities, get rid of them. Give them to somebody else. I won't be in my office in Houston. I have a headquarters in Houston. I won't be in my office till June, late June. I'll be gone 3 months. My company runs. Because what I do best is research, write, travel, speak, one-on-one, one-on-many. In the process of doing it, that's where I make my most income. Does that make any sense? So you want to find out what you do, prioritize it, and if there's in any way a possibility that you could hire somebody at less than the cost it's costing you by doing that, it's wiser to hire somebody to do that and start your own business. I had a gentleman who's working. I just worked with him in Dallas the other day. He's working for a company. He's doing consulting. He's got a fixed income. He's tried to ask for a raise. The guy says there's no raises. Won't be probably raises for another year or two. And he's sitting there going, but I want to grow my wealth. And the guy says there's no way you can do outside work. If you work outside the company, you're fired. You can't do outside work. So he's sitting there in a fixed income, fixed thing, but his dreams are bigger than that job. So I sat down and I said, what's the values of the guy that owns the company? Your boss. What's his values? We identified their values the best we could. And then we brainstormed, spent about an hour and a half thinking about what could he do that's valuable to him in such a way that he's going to want to either give him freedom to go out and do other jobs or give him more income. And then we did a proposal, and he went and did this proposal. The day after I left, he went and did this proposal and got two things done. He didn't get a raise, but he got an opportunity to do something else that could earn an income. And he also got the opportunity that if he does this outside work As long as it doesn't interfere with the production, he can do it. The guy just didn't want him to distract his production. So he said, I will do this, and if my production goes up 10% by doing this, I'm still allowed to do it. He says, if you go up in 10% in your production, every year you're here, if you can increase it by 10%, I have no problem you doing it. I just don't want you to disturb your production from doing it. So he went back and negotiated and opened up a freedom to now do consulting on the side as long as he increases production. So no, he went from a fixed thinking and no from somebody to communicating in the person's values, getting a new opportunity within his own company while opening up his doorway to start doing consulting. And now when the money he gets off the consulting is exceeding this, he's going to then take this person and try to make them a new client of his. That's his goal. He's going to turn that company that he's working for into one of his clients of many so he can write off his true business expenses and actually end up with more income and have those as new clients. He's got a strategy, a long-term strategy.